Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get it on! Paul Peters!
Oh, we've got a fight. Thornton and Rebate are exchanging punches.
And everybody pairing up at center. And now Peters starts teeing off on Emery.
The captain strikes gold!
And now, the Instigators.
Oh, beautiful cloudy day outside here in Buffalo. Morning, Duffer.
Hi, Petey.
Bringing the sun in today, always bringing the smile. Brian Duff joins me for what, day four? Monday will be
marathon
day five.
Run. Yeah,
it's a good marathon run.
Yeah.
How you holding up?
I'm good. My 11-day power play shift is coming on Sunday, so
this
has been a really good tune-up for it, let me tell you.
Have you been on the ice at all?
Like I say, this has been a really good tune-up.
Because I'm gonna prep you for something, because it's funny. I threw the hat on right before we came on. We're in hat mode. It's summertime. So I got the 11-day power play hat, which is going on right now down at the Harbor Center, the community shift, until Monday, the big game Monday. A bunch of former NHLers are going to be playing. We're going to be out at Danny Gare's golf golf tournament for the units golf tournament. But the 11-day power play is going on. What time's your shift so people can come out and watch?
Noon to 3 on Sunday, playing for Camp Good Days against Make-A-Wish. So
awesome.
One has to assume that's the marquee game of the day on Sunday, based on the fact that those two entities are major beneficiaries this year of the 11-day power play.
I prepare you for one thing. It's not Monday. It's Tuesday. Because I played...
Hey, I'm not on with you on Tuesday.
No,
I got all day to recover.
I played... What day is today? It's Friday. So I played Wednesday night against the 97 Rock team. Mm-hmm. I played with the Queen City Squirrels.
Well, it was not just that. It was kind of a media all-stars squad you were up against.
Well, they had Peck and McKee.
There's some TV guys, Matt Bove, right?
He played. Yeah, he's getting married, so he was getting nice and trim. Had the face mask on. He said, "I'm getting married."
I have to wear it too. So
yeah, I know. I didn't have. I was hoping to get cut. I was hoping to take like just a 3 or 4 slicer, just below the eye, just enough of a conversation piece to. Yeah. You know, walk
you don't
around.
Want it in here because then it would interrupt the beard.
Well, that's the worst thing, right? Guys don't want it. Guys that have like facial hair and they get cut, or they haven't shaved in a couple days and then they get cut somewhere in the chin or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Now they have to like shave around it. So you have a circle of hair and around the stitches and it just becomes a mess. But yeah, you're right. The upper cheek is probably the best way to do it. It leaves the best scar. Speaking of scars, 10-year deals. We're right in the heart of, right in the thick of unrestricted free agency. And
another guy signed this morning.
Ryan Dezingle. Yeah. Another guy that I think has, you know, throughout the winter toward the end of the season, into the, you know, you start to get closer to free agency, you read the list and Rives has his board. Mm-hmm. Duffer has his board.
Yep.
And we're going to
unveil it. I'm not the only one today, though. Vogel, too.
At 11 o'clock, John Vogel is going to be in, and the two are going to put their lineups head-to-head. I'll dissect them. We'll let you vote on whose team would win.
That's not what the purpose of this was for.
It's called the Instigators, so that's just like the kind of like the slide-in little secret fun. We don't have to. We'll discuss
mine's
that.
Incomplete, so
okay.
It's going to lose.
Yours is interesting. I'll say that, to say the least, and I like it some of the positions.
It's like most of your school projects, incomplete.
Is that what you've heard? Is that what?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Might be true.
Everything about you was then, you know, on display, and teachers never would penalize you for those incomplete projects. They'd look at you.
Especially if you had a big win last night for the Generals, you know what I mean? If you have a big win in the OHL for the Oshawa Generals.
The teacher
happens to have tickets on his desk for the game. You might let that project slide and give you the gifty 60,
not the gifty
50.
Right. I know how that works. There were a lot of classes that were filled with part-time students and full-time Oshawa Generals at my high school.
It's so. the old saying. Yeah. Like I remember growing up, the talk about hockey players and athletes in general going to college was that all they're going to take like pool cleaning or basket weaving or whatever it is that just can whatever can get them through you know home economics or home economics was like the go-to
which actually probably came in handy because you really you know you personalized and patented your own form of pasta right I mean that was kind of where you learned to make spaghetti and
no question.
I think it might have been the only thing we ever cooked, but whatever.
Did you ever see the movie Blue Chips?
Why do you ask me this? Obviously, I didn't.
Okay, so if you've ever seen the movie, okay, so it's Shaquille O'Neal's in it, Penny Hardaway. It's a basketball movie. Nick Nolte plays a coach for a college university basketball team. And the whole point is about the basket weaving thing. And it was just, it focused around boosters and recruiting and all that stuff. And back in a time when it was, you know, very cash friendly, bags of cash, it's an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like it's timeless. So go check it out. But the point of it is he has to go and talk to one player because he's flunking TV. And the coach is like, come on, man, how are you? You're flunking TV. Like, how are you flunking TV? I can't play. You're going to lose your eligibility to play. So, but it's not like that. I mean, nowadays, these kids have to do the work and do the put the work in and get the grades in order to stay. I'm sure at some schools anyway. But we were talking free agency.
Yes.
Nick Backstrom. Is on track to be the first player to sign a 10-plus year contract and play the entire length of the deal with one team. Mm-hmm. And this is back. This is signed, obviously, you know, before the last lockout when the contract lengths were maxed.
Before two.
Would it have been
yeah, just the last one. Yeah.
Was it? Would it have been?
Yeah, yeah,
it would have been in between. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you know? Can you name? You did a good job of naming a few, but I think there are players in this league now that are still on.
Rattle them off. I mean, like the beauty here is obviously the Caps are faced with Backstrom's situation in that they're going to have to re-up him. That may not sound like a hard thing to do, but term is going to be the biggest challenge for them. Obviously, they want to see Ovechkin continue to pursue history, which is chasing down Wayne Gretzky for the all-time goal-scoring record. I'm going to say that Ovechkin's best chance of doing that would still be having a guy like Nick Backstrom around, at the very least to help on power play situations.
It'd be a very interesting team without him there.
Well, that's the thing. And they've won, so that helps, but they still want to keep winning and keep maximizing those assets. So that'll be fascinating. However, I think this is a really neat story because of where Backstrom fits with all the other players who signed those massive long-term deals back in that era. The first two that sprung to mind for me were Johan Franzén because it didn't work out due to injury, and obviously the very recently retired Roberto Luongo, which definitely did not work out for Vancouver based on the cap recapture penalty. But the others are fascinating, too.
So Erhoff.
Yeah.
Erhoff's one. He signed that. I think it was a 10-year, $40 million, right?
The cap hit was fine.
Yeah. Jordan Staal, 10 years in deal until...
Still going.
He's still going.
Crazy.
Marian Hossa, he was traded to Arizona in 2018 in the offseason, but he's retired.
He's retired.
Long-term IR with a skin condition. Duncan Keith, 13-year deal until 2023, still with the Hawks. Zetterberg, contract still with the Red Wings, but did not play last season. You mentioned Franzén. Jonathan Quick, 10-year deal. Zach Parise, Ryan Suter signed 13-year deals the same day, I think.
Mm-hmm. Same deal.
Shea Weber, traded to Montreal, still going. Ilya Kovalchuk, that 15-year deal. Do you remember that?
Which one?
Well, that's right. There was one taken back because the last 2 years or 3 years were league minimum or something, and they dinged him for cap circumvention, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then you had Yashin. He was on the payroll just came off a couple years ago, DiPietro. Mike Richards, Jeff Carter, Sidney Crosby still going. LeCavalier bought out in 2013. You mentioned Luongo, Nick Backstrom, Alex Ovechkin. I mean, and you just talk now. I mean, you look at like a Dzingel signs a 2-year deal as a UFA, but your star players. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're looking back on it, would people now want to have had Austin Matthews signed to a 12 or 13
different,
year deal?
Different because he wasn't UFA.
Well, right, but, right.
And not obviously, these weren't all UFA. Clearly, these were not UFA deals. I think it's fascinating. I wonder where the fan base is at in respective markets as far as what type of commitment they want to make to star players. And would you prefer to go longer than the eight, which is what you can do to retain a guy who's already on your roster when he goes into UFAs or, you know, whatever, next level status.
Right.
And or seven to bring in a UFA from outside, or the typical 2 to 3 year bridge, or the perhaps becoming fashionable 5 year deal, which Matthews had, which Aho received. I don't know. I this alone, this portrait of long term deals, Petey, presents nothing but risk, confusion, uncertainty, hope. I mean, it's all
desperation.
There. Desperation. It's all there.
Yeah.
Loyalty, right? That's not to be overlooked in all of this. I mean, that's always been one of those buzzwords that some people cringe at and others are very partial to. It's all this does is explain once again, clarify once again, how challenging it is to build a roster for the now and for the future.
It's interesting. I was a player rep for 3 years, and you know, when you're a player, I now see and look at the game differently, and also the business of the game differently. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the time you're thinking about, you know, how to keep players making more money and all this stuff and longer term deals, and even Rivs has sat here and talked about Bob Goodenow and Stars over Kansas, and we're really getting there. Mm-hmm. But I've it's always been pro player, get the money. But I'm looking and I'm saying I am fearful of these long term contracts, and it's not even the guys, like, it's not even Jack Eichel's contract, because, mm-hmm. you know, there's an article about Jack's, you know, has no limit to his mm-hmm. game, and he might be a guy in 3 years that you wish you had on a 12-year deal at $10 million, because he mm-hmm. could be up, and yep. he could be up for a $14 or $15 million deal by yep. the time he hits his peak of his game and his full stride and the team is good. And
well, let's hope the league's healthy enough to withstand that.
Well, okay.
I mean, it seems it's trending that way. As long as, you know, hopefully we don't have another work stoppage to.
But I guess back to the union thing. I mean, I see this and I just think I would like to start going the other way just based on this article alone. Mm-hmm. Because when you look back on it, don't you think Minnesota, and I'll use Minnesota as an example, because when they signed Parise and Suter mm-hmm. to those deals, I love Zach Parise. And I think Ryan Suter is one of the most underrated NHL defensemen in history.
His deal fits. Ryan Suter has delivered, I think, on every penny of that deal.
Parise's
had health issues. And I think Zach was underappreciated for his overall game when he was with the Devils. Now, that's not to say underappreciated True. By the Devils. I think league-wide, people didn't, almost in a different way, but not unlike Patrick Eliash, quite frankly. I mean, Devils players who produce at a high level offensively were often just bogged down by the reputation of the Devils. And I just found that people never quite embraced the ultimate skill set. And I don't blame Minnesota for it, but I do think that obviously the injuries have been a huge, you know, deterrent to Parise being able to maximize the full value of that deal for that franchise.
Well, I look at how you take, for example, Chicago.
Yeah.
Kane and Taves, mm-hmm. they signed those deals, not even the $10.5 million deals. Before that, mm-hmm. they were on 5 or 6 year yep. deals for $6
But what have they also been?
Bucks?
Healthy, right? And it's never to be overlooked in all of this. And whenever you're contemplating critiquing a player for, you know, this, that, and the other thing, the health and the ability to stay healthy, to me, is just and I realize there's a lot of unfortunate luck.
Came with Skinner's name, and he'd been yeah. 5 years in the league with mm-hmm. no injuries.
Well, that's the thing. Like you were concerned about Furland a little bit, but he's never played fewer than 70. And I think sometimes whenever we hear a certain type of injury, i.e., he had a head injury at some point, and now Buffalo's brought on Marcus Johansson, so everybody knows that. Yeah, there's every reason to be concerned. It's part of the due diligence process before bringing somebody in. But the best player in the game for more than 10 years now, has had significant issues. And thankfully, for him and the game, has been able to overcome them. His name is Sidney Crosby. So just because someone has an injury like that at some point, it doesn't mean we shy away. It means do what you can to continue to protect that person, but also know where that person is at as far as what have the repercussions been. Have there truly been any existing repercussions based on that injury, right? So thankfully, again, we've had medical advances too, so that helps prolong careers that are, you know, now being forged in an era where the game is so high tempo and high impact. But yeah, I think sometimes it's just our human nature to worry, perhaps a little unnecessarily, about every sign.
Fair enough.
Because of one particular injury, you know? We're not living in the Bobby Orr era where there just wasn't a way to preserve his knees, right? Like, we have the ability.
Yeah, knee surgery back then, you know, versus knee surgery now. I mean, you want to talk, I mean, medical advances. I had back surgery in 2000. Mm-hmm. It was a micro discectomy, but I mean, my scar was probably 3 inches long. Mm-hmm. And you look now, they do it orthoscopically. They do it through the side. Yeah. And it's just, it's a day surgery now you know, before you'd spend the night in the hospital and you couldn't walk and you had the, you know, now it's, mm-hmm. you're in and out. So medical advances have come a long way. And I think sports and recovery and things like that. I mean, you look at how these athletes are training nowadays. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that maybe we have to worry a little less. But I guess but when you're signing these players, you need these players, and mm-hmm. you know, obviously people worry about injury no matter what. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you who is hoping not to be injured. We will get to Sabres conversation. Don't forget that John Vogel is coming on with us at 11. If I were to tell you that Phil Kessel could bump season ticket prices or season ticket sales 600%.
Keep in mind, though, where were they? Like, what does it take to go up 600% in that market?
I don't know, a few hundred tickets?
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
But it's good, though.
It's good. Yeah, it's great.
I like that signing that trade for Arizona. I think Phil's going to do great out there. One more thing I want to mention that I read yesterday that I thought was great. I don't have the tweet or the Instagram thing in front of me, but I saw it online. Was Jaromir Jagr, 18 years ago on July 11th, mm-hmm. he was acquired by the Washington Capitals. So he sent out a little message yesterday, kind of giving himself a bit of a pat on the back and taking some credit for helping the Caps win the Cup. He basically said, sorry, Caps fans, you know, or thank you, Caps fans. Sorry it didn't work out, but look at it the positive way. If I had played better, you never would have gotten Ovi, which means you never would have had a cup. Therefore, you know, he's responsible.
What a disastrous era that was.
The Jagr era in Washington was one of the worst.
One of the worst. When we're talking long-term deals, right? Like, it was massive for him there, and boy, like, it could not have gone worse. And the fact that at one point you lose the timeline on Jagr because it extended so far. I can't remember.
Got it right in front of me.
No, but I mean, like, I don't know whether it was like 3 years ago he apologized or some article came out, or 5 years ago or even longer than that, where he basically said he quit on them while he was there. And I thought, holy cow. But hey, I guess there's something to be said for honesty after the fact, but it was an absolute train wreck for the Capitals at that point in time.
Yeah, I remember playing against him when he was in Washington. It was 2003-04, and then he was moved to the Rangers. And you're just seeing him in a Capitals, awful jerseys too back then, by the way. I don't know if anyone remembers those. Though they had the blue, I don't know what it was, the eagle on the front or something, but it was absolutely brutal, as Old Man River would say. Article out there about Jack Eichel. There's no limit to Eichel's potential. And I didn't even, I'll be honest with you, the headline speaks for itself. I think we can all agree that Jack Eichel has no limit to his potential. I would have to imagine the Sabres feel that way. I have to imagine that right now in the middle of the summer, with some of the moves that Jason Botterill's made and mm-hmm. will continue to make, that potential is only going to grow. And his offensive numbers, but it's not even his offensive numbers. It's not when you say potential. It's not statistics necessarily. It's overall game. It's. I think we saw serious improvements in Jack's two-way game last year. He added more physicality to his game early on. Mm-hmm. I thought he was better defensively in his own zone. I think we can all agree on that. Offensively, he had a career year in numbers.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's pretty obvious.
All that being said, there is so much more room to grow, and that comes with being in a race. And unfortunately, they didn't stay in a race. So I think the last months of the season just leave you wanting more all around. But it's not all around from him. It's all around from everyone. And they couldn't stay in the race long enough to know what it's like to be. How did you lead the show? Talking about, a nick here, a nick here, stitches, this and that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, and I don't wish that upon anyone, but we all know that that's kind of the look you need to have as you're going into the playoffs and then garnering more throughout the playoffs. And they just didn't find themselves in that situation. And that's, to me, the most frustrating thing. Like, they could have missed the playoffs last year. I wouldn't have been crushed because I didn't expect them to make it last year. But just because of how it ended, I wanted to see him, Jack Eichel, and others – like really, really, really grinding and fighting in the final 2 weeks of the year to stay within 3 points, get within 1 point. You know what I mean? And so that there's no limit. It's still an open canvas, really, for him to create everywhere on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with all that. And I think as, you get Dahlin one more year in, you're going to have Montour. You have a better back end to begin with, period. That helps. We always talk about, getting out of your own zone, which mm-hmm. is something the Sabres have struggled with over the years. So you have defensemen now that can help you do that. Yep. And I think that will absolutely help translate to his game alone, let alone, the guys on the second and third and fourth lines, if you even want to call them that. But you know what? Duffer has his dry erase board, the Rive board, ready to rock
heavy
and roll.
On the erase.
John Vogel going to join us at 11 o'clock, so we'll dive into that. See who Duffer has on Jack's right wing and see who I might have on Jack's right wing.
And if tune in next week when it'll look completely different.
It'll be totally different, but that's all right. We have all summer to actually iron it out. Speaking of ironing it out, sounds like Casey Mittelstadt had some comments on NHL.com from the Debuty League, just talking about the team and how they're going to iron things out. New faces, they're all excited about that. New voice. If you didn't get a chance to read it, go read it. It's at NHL.com down on the right side. Pretty standard. I think you want to know something? He made a comment about a fresh voice. Mm-hmm. And he's young, and he might be speaking for the pulse of the team when mm-hmm. when he says that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think different voice. I think Ralph Kruger, sometimes players. And I don't know what Phil Housley was like behind closed doors. I liked Phil Housley. He was great to me. Always very friendly, open conversation. I don't know what he was like behind closed doors. But I see a difference between Phil Housley and Ralph Kruger just with their presentation and how they speak and the presence. And Ralph just comes in with this, I don't want to – not chest out, but like just, strong personality – very fair but firm, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I think that kind of a voice can go through the locker room in a different way. I mean, Jacques Lemaire, I played for Jacques Lemaire, and everyone can say that he's a genius and everything, and I played for Lindy. And these two guys are very, very similar mm-hmm. in their coaching styles, okay? Very close friends. But Lindy did it one way, which a great way, very successful coach. I look back now, I reflect. Great coach. We've had coach Thomas Vanek came on and said he looks back and Lindy was one of the best coaches he ever had. Mm-hmm. Jacques did it differently, had a different kind of delivery. He had the French accent, had to slow his speaking down for it, and it was just deep voice. You know what I mean? And I sometimes a fresh voice, different, attitude, mm-hmm. I guess, toward and maybe a little more positive, a different approach. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say coddle. Everyone wants to use the word coddle and say millennials and these young kids. But I think that's true with every athlete. I think a lot of the athletes put a front on when a coach was yelling at them and pretended like it didn't affect them. Mm-hmm. Where now I think kids just are like, they don't like it. Mm-hmm. And they will stand up against it. And I feel like a guy like Ralph can help these young kids, can maybe, you know, give them the direction. I'm going on a long tangent here about coaching, but I understand what the kid means when he talks about a voice, because you don't think he, in that 1 year that he sat there, you don't think you hear your teammates talk, mm-hmm. right? I'm not saying criticize. I'm just saying you hear their thoughts and you take their thoughts in, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Look at the Ottawa Senators cab mm-hmm. ride.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were desperate for a fresh voice, apparently. Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how long a guy's there. It's either working or it's not.
Yeah.
And the players will take to a coach or they won't. So my point is that he was there, what, 1 year? Mm-hmm. Other guys were under Phil for two. Mm-hmm. Some guys you just know, and you can get the pulse of the team and the vibe. But anyway, they sound excited, and he sounds excited about the new players. One thing I will say is – I hope this kid, and he's being told, I'm sure of it, that I hope he's getting ready for the season, because mm-hmm. there's a real competition here. And I'm not saying his job's on the line, but maybe ice time, power play,
well, that's,
other spots for him to grow as a player.
I think that's Ralph's, and it should be every coach's, you know, how would you say it? It's the one, I don't like saying holds it over a player, but... you know, I think when we sat down with Ralph initially, and I asked him about maybe things that he would do that are perhaps a little unconventional or different, you know, just him mentioning the ice time really made me perk up, just because I think if he's bold enough, early enough, to shut it down on a top player early in a game for a while, right, to send the message – and then see if that does have that tweak that he's looking for in game. And there's a million other things Ralph will attempt within a game. There's no question he's creative that way. And we look forward to, you know, how he employs guys in different situations. But I think based on what you just said about Casey, ice time, and this, I know it's a cliche, but like for him especially, it will not be given. Like it absolutely has to be earned, and I'm with you. I hope that Casey is on the right path here to be a significant presence and or difference maker for this team this year.
I say this for every player on the team. I mean, everybody.
But some guys have a bigger
up.
Scope on them, right?
Oh, well bigger for sure. Spotlight. And I think it, not just what you just said. I'm saying it with what I say next, and that is there's a clip of Ralph Krueger that the Oilers had of him in the locker mm-hmm. room. You know, Sean Horkoff, mm-hmm. who, like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Sean Horkoff and how long he played and the way he played, and you know, other players that were on that team at the time. The way he, you know, talked about Sean Horkoff in mm-hmm. a meeting in front of the players, who, you know, young players like Taylor Hall and all these other guys must have been like, whoa, mm-hmm. you know, you're calling out that guy. Just talking about comments and conversations they'd had mm-hmm. behind closed doors. You know, bringing to the team about tired of losing and changing the culture. You know, Ryan Whitney was talking about how he chewed out Taylor Hall and guys mm-hmm. for body language. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, these guys they're all under a microscope. I mm-hmm. mean, so yes, I mean, you know, it's all part of it. And that's going to fall on, you know, ice time too. It's going to all probably result in reflect on their ice time. So mm-hmm. we got to get out of here for break. When we come back, more stuff from around the league. Touch more on Jack Eichel, too. But John Vogel coming up at 11. Brian Duff has done the impossible.
It felt like it.
And he put together his dry erase board, his lineup. John Vogel's coming in. He's got one. I'm going to put the two of them to the challenge. Johnny also has a depth chart.
Okay.
So we can talk about depth chart, because he asked the question about Johansson mm-hmm. and ranked the left wingers. He had Johansson as a left winger. Do you have Johansson as a left winger? See where Duffer has him. See where I have him. See where John Vogel has him. That's at 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. More Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Andrew Peters, Brian Duff, and John Vogel arriving early.
Johnny, nice to see you.
Alex, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
Kept it casual. That's good.
What's up?
Doing well.
We've been talking about you a lot.
That's what I hear. I listen.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, we appreciate it. So you're the one. I used to say that all the time when someone's like, oh, you're my favorite player.
But then you got caught up in the ratings. And you knew it wasn't the case anymore.
Well, then the ratings came out and we were like, man.
You mentioned the 11-day power play being sore today. Yesterday, that was my sore. Well, I played right before you. And
you're not feeling worse today?
No, I feel okay today.
I feel worse today than I did. Well, you're in better shape than I am.
I drank a lot of water yesterday. That might help too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I did too. It still didn't help, and I'm suffering. Duffer's going to go through it Tuesday. Right. Give Duffer a call. See how he's feeling. 11-day power play going on down at the Harbor Center.
Yeah, but I'm golfing on Monday immediately after, so that's perfect, right? It's kind of like a.
It's actually. I bet you it'll be worse.
No, it'll be great.
Okay. It'll well, I'll check.
You're not going to see me next week anyway.
Who'd you play with?
I played with Jim Fink. He had two teams together, Aaron Mankowski from Channel 7. So, there's a few of us. It was a good time. Usually I play in Fink's weekend league, and there's a bunch of guys from that.
Yeah, Finke scored a goal in the game that I played in.
Nice.
I used him as a screen a couple times, too, getting out of my zone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he scored. I was devastated when he scored.
Yeah, trust me. Every time that's ever happened and I've been on the ice on the wrong side of it, I'm like, I need to quit.
And he'll laugh right at you, too, if he scores. Yeah. He'll give you a look and say, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You deserve that one. But anyway, no, it's a lot of fun. Go check it out. You're playing on Sunday against who?
Four Camp Good Days against Make-A-Wish, noon at Harbor Center.
We played against the WGR team, and Brayton Wilson scored, and he had the best celebration of the day.
Did he? What did he do?
Yeah, he hit the ice, gave a little snowman.
Did he?
Yeah, an angel. Yeah, he had a good time.
And Bulldogs kid was in that.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you win any goals?
We lost 12-11.
Ooh, so that's a low scoring game.
It was a good one.
We lost 23-20.
Yeah.
They had McKee and Pekka, and I gotta tell you, those two guys still look unreal. People don't understand about Jay. Like he's a smooth skater. Not enough respect given, you know, based on the stats and the shot blocking and the body checking that he did, the defensive play, but I've been watching Jay since junior when he played with my brother in Niagara Falls. I remember when he was drafted, came back to junior, and used to just dance from behind his net all the way and then dish the puck off over the red line. And it was unreal to watch. Peck's unbelievable too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Still looks like he could play. So Johnny Vogel, you have Marcus Johansson on the left wing. I wanted to ask you about that because you sent out a poll today. Are you kind of a poll, semi-poll?
Yeah, I wanted to see what people thought because obviously one thing that this team has done and Jason Botterill has done, he's increased the depth. I mean, yeah, this was the poll for those watching on TV.
Do you want to read your own tweet?
Sure.
That would be pretty cool to do on the radio and TV, eh?
Do me a favor.
We don't do that around here.
Do me a favor and rank these Sabres left wingers in order, minus Skinner, who's obviously at the top. Thanks. We got Marcus Johansson, Jimmy Vesey, and Victor Olofsson. And there was most of the people, I think, put in the order of Olofsson, Johansson, and Vesey.
So now we know how it sounds while John Vogel is writing out a tweet. That's exactly how it sounds in his head. And then, okay, so let's... What have you received in terms of responses?
A lot of people like Olofsson. I think that they watched the Amerks enough last year to know that this kid can score. And, I mean, even in the six games, he scored twice, which at that rate would have been number two on the team probably for the entire year. I was interested to see that VC was almost always the third in that list. I mean, I think he's a good scorer. And I think if you put him with the right center, he can put up more points than Johansson can, but it's good to have this depth. I mean, that's one thing we haven't talked about in a long time, that they have four legitimate guys that, I mean, Connor Sheary was a second-line left winger, and as Botterill said, they might move him to the right side just because they have enough depth now, so it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do, and I guess unveil your boards. You know, Craig has been, you know, our in-house general manager for the last 3 years. He's at the board up there, but he's really been getting into it more and more. And he's got the salaries up there. He's got everything. You gentlemen have yours, and we'll get to them at 11 o'clock. But are there any surprises without telling us? Like, do you have some? Because I saw Duffers. I kind of got a sneak peek because he used the board in the back, and we didn't cover it up. So I saw his, and I'll tell you this. I was surprised a little bit, but not in a bad way. What did I say to you?
So was I.
Well, what did I say to you? I said, thank you for one of your moves. I'm like, thank you for doing something like
before you went off on a rant. And
really I went off on a, yeah, I did yeah. go off on a rant. I've been on a couple rants today. But anyway, any surprises? You have a couple? Maybe?
One. I'm going to get, like, I don't know if it would be the opening night thing, but I think the opening day of training camp, there's a guy I want to try at right wing with Jack Eichel and see if it works. Do you want to know now? You want to know?
No, I don't want to know now. I don't.
I think, that said, these can change, that there's enough depth here. But I think there is one guy that's could be sneaky good if you give him a chance with the right centers. So
well you've also been vocal about a Ristolainen deal, and you sent out a poll the other day about a few players. Do you think realistically, in the situation and everything you've seen over the years and where the Sabres are at in depth on defense, that he will be moved?
I think so. I mean, I just think they have too many right wingers, and I mean, too many right-handed defensemen, and not enough forwards. I mean, I think Jason realizes that, and he also realizes that there's teams like Tampa Bay, Winnipeg, and Anaheim that really need a right-handed D and might have extra forwards.
Were you surprised in that poll that Anthony Cirelli didn't get as much love as I think Duffer might have expected?
Holy cow, 9% or 10% of the people only
voted. I understand it, though. I mean, it's just he's so unknown in the grand scheme of things. That's all. He's just not had the media attention. It's completely understandable based on who is ahead of him on the depth chart in Tampa. It's just when you look even a little bit more into it, position only being a part of it, the trajectory that he is on, which mirrors or closely follows so many other previous quality Lightning players, it's hard not to get excited about that potential for Cirelli, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
In were you supposed to say something? Because I wanted to ask you about Dzingel signing a two-year deal. Was he a guy at any time that you maybe had seen the Sabres going after?
Not really, just from little chats I had had with people both in Columbus and around town that I didn't think he was going to fit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of think that everybody sees the wing situation and probably...
Well, with the moves that John just talked about, yeah. I mean, he's kind of addressed those types of, you know, holes. And if you're going to continue to build up the forward group, it's probably going to be with someone a little higher offensive cachet than Dzingel. But that being said, based on a team that went as far as it did, I think Carolina's offseason moves have been terrific.
Where were you on Nylander before the trade was made? I mean, say they hadn't made the move for Jokiharu, where would you have had Nylander?
I would have had
just him. Out of curiosity, because the deal just was made, and there are a lot of people in Chicago not happy with the deal, by the way.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that for sure. I think Nylander would have made the squad at the start of the year. Whether he would have stayed the entire year is
at
another
the expense
question.
Of.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Tage Thompson.
Yeah. Is Tage on your team now?
Well,
it depends. He's got an asterisk next to him. So we'll see.
Why are you trying to spoil it, Duffer?
I'm not.
Don't rain on our parade. We have worked very hard to get you to buy into this. So we only have 18 more minutes. Don't slide back. Get back up here. So Dzingel was in. What about the Furland deal? Was Furland a guy, I mean, that like going into the UFA offseason that you might have had on your roster, a guy that you would have been interested in?
I don't think he would have been a huge upgrade over guys that they could plug in, so I don't think it would have been worth the money in that case to spend more on a guy who's similar to some people that you already have.
Yeah. That's the challenge right now. And you've got potentially quite a few of them coming off the books next year. But I don't think you want to immediately reload and have, you know, five guys making the same number and really not providing much variance, you know. And who knows, if they ultimately do bring in a bigger name in that top six, and then you got the other end of the equation where you've got, you know, especially with Dahlin's deal coming inevitably, then you're looking at maybe a handful of guys making a huge amount, which has happened up the road and still hasn't rectified itself.
Is Kyle Turris's name still being tossed around?
Oh, sure. It's being tossed around, but I'm not saying specifically for here, but I mean, Turris is. It's tough when you're at a number like this, right? And your point production's going like this.
Yeah, $6 million is not the contract to sign if you're
a second line centerman. I mean,
but he's not anymore, right? At least based on production. I mean, I'm not.
Well, I think that would be. I mean, if you did make a move for Turris, whatever that would be, fair market price. I mean, you bring him in here, you would have to force feed him into that second spot, and if it doesn't work, you're in a lot of trouble, right?
But for a lot of years.
Yes, for a lot of years. Because that's Nashville, a lot of money to pay a third line center.
Unless Nashville eats a chunk of it, which is possible.
But yeah, the moment they signed Duchesne, I mean, he was obviously going to be talked about a lot and will continue to be talked about a lot because they're going to try and move him out.
All right, when we come back, the NBA is in the news here, and I'll tell you why. 6 of the 15 members of the All-NBA teams have switched teams this summer. 4 of the top 10 MVP vote-getters are on new teams. 5 NBA All-Star starters and 8 All-Stars aren't with their 2018-19 teams anymore. Enjoy your stars while you have them in the NBA. Could hockey be heading there? Maybe Austin Matthews. He's on a 5-year deal. He could walk. You're going to have Sebastian Aho. Enjoy him for 5 years. You're going to have a couple other guys who are going to maybe start leveraging this UFA status. We'll talk about that when we return. I'll ask John Vogel because of the Backstrom conversation off the start about contract lengths. And at 11 o'clock, we will get into the Sabres dry erase board. Craig Rivet's GM board is up for grabs, and these two men have done it. They put the lineups together. We'll talk about it. And tell us your disappointments and your loves for it when we return. 11 o'clock.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rivet.
All right, welcome back. John Vogel in studio with Brian Duff and myself here in The Instigators on WGR 550 and MSG on your radio. John and Duff are going to give us their summertime early lineups for next year, obviously with moves kind of not finished, I would imagine, with the depth and stuff like that. But maybe, who knows? I mean, maybe you guys thrown on waivers and sent to Rochester. I mean, you never know. It's fascinating right now.
I think the general manager has made this, while challenging, he has also made it an easy exercise in that it is still completely wide open. So neither of us are married to what you're seeing or about to see and hear about today, because clearly the general manager is not finished either, so how could we possibly be with our decision?
Look, I'm not going to hold you to this. This is just like this is not going to come out.
I believe it's already in the hands of many and screenshotted and saved for a later date, much like your ill-fated wrist alignment for Hall.
That's fine. Let them do with it what they'd like. I will tell you that I'm not going to hold you guys to this. These are subject to change, and they will change.
Here's the thing. I'm not privy to the conversations Bottrell's having with other teams to know, you know, who's in play and who can, you know, what can he get for any of these particular players that he may or may not want on the roster when the season begins. So there is a surplus at many positions right now for Buffalo.
You follow the NBA?
Yeah.
I don't. I went on a Raptors run for about 9 games, but I just can't stand reading the news and watching all these guys jumping ship and manipulating trades and things like that. I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, do you think we ever see hockey doing this? Is this
because should never say never, right?
Well, my fear now, these guys, and I shouldn't say fear because, you know, whatever, but, you know, these guys are going to maybe get smart and bank on themselves while making bank in the first place. You know, Aho, you know, Matthews, Marner could do the same thing. Jumping ship at earlier times, less loyalty. The days of guys like Sidney Crosby signing 12-year deals and Backstrom, we talked today about 10-year deal.
I don't know. I mean, basketball is so different than all the rest because of such a small concentration of key ingredients each year. It lends itself to this. I don't like, you know, did you not just use the word manipulate?
I don't know if I said manipulate, but yes, somehow.
You know, to facilitate deals.
Facilitate.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I guess players could have and maybe have done this all along in hockey, right? Like if a real good buddy goes somewhere, there's nothing preventing.
Well, I'm sure Suter and Parise, you know, had to have had a conversation.
But they were also at a stage where they were both open to the whole league to be signed.
Right.
Not forcing a hand of a deal like, hey, my buddy's going to go here in free agency, but he's not going unless you trade me. So I'm telling you that right now. So I'm giving you a heads up to make the deal so everybody can be happy here. Because if I don't get to go play with my buddy, I'm not going to be happy. So you need to know that right now. Is that stuff going to go on? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I really don't.
Plus, two guys can make a huge difference on a basketball team, whereas two guys might not, as we've seen, make an entire difference on a hockey team. Yeah. But I did see an interesting tweet the other day. I wish I knew who it was about. He mentioned that Jack and Connor messed up. They should have signed a shorter deal, and then they would have had more options. Like, at the time, if they had signed a five-year deal, they have way more options when they get done. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of guaranteed money they're giving up. But it's... I don't know.
Well, Jack's how old when his deal expires?
Probably 30 at least.
No, 29 maybe. He signed at 22, 8 years. Yeah, 30. Let's say 30.
Yeah.
Right?
Right here.
So, I mean, there's still another 5 years at least for him to cash in. And what's he got left? Another 7 years on this deal? Mm-hmm. So, you know, by then, in 7 years of where the cap is and all of that stuff, based on his performance and, I mean, the earning – potential will still be there. But I think guys now, like an Austin Matthews, that's a smart deal. If you're talking about a guy that believes that he is going to perform no matter what for the next 5 or 6 years, till, you know what I mean? Like, he has just made more money than he would have on a long-term deal, by for sure. I mean, and you wonder if that's going to be – and I would like it to be that way. I would love for guys to be on shorter deals. To make it interesting, but you end up losing them. There's that risk, right? Mm-hmm. Just like how Montreal did Carolina a favor. They'll just sign Aho in 5 years, you know, when he's a UFA. When we come back, the much-anticipated Brian Duff dry erase board lineup, but we added a mix to it. We brought in John Vogel, and he's going to do his lineup. We'll compare them, see where they have guys. I know Duffer has one player – some would say out of whack. I'll speak for Reve on that one, but I like the move. We'll talk about it when we come back. Yeah, he has Darlene at second line center.
Only if Scotty Bowman was coaching.
We'll be right back. Instigators, John Vogel, Brian Duff in studio with me right here, WGR 550 and MSG.